Well, you guys can grab a seat. So I was born in 1983. That means I'm getting real close to hitting that magic 4-0 here, coming up not too far away. Excited about that. But I'll tell you what, I came of age in a time when there was like a major kind of communication shift going on. I don't know how old you are in the room today or what your memories about your childhood were like, but when I was a kid, I actually grew up in this time when in order to make a phone call, you actually had to know someone's number, right? Like now we have cell phones and, right, like I don't even know if I could call my own mom without like just going to the phone and like hitting her name on the phone. Like I'm not sure if I could remember her number, right? I remember growing up as a kid, we had one telephone in our house. It had a cord on it, and it was stationed in our dining room. And so if you wanted to make a phone call, you actually had to go to that room, and then you couldn't go more than like 5 feet away from the phone. They actually had this crazy thing called the telephone book. And it sat right next to the phone. And if you wanted to call like a business or whatever, you actually had to like flip through this thing and look for the number and find it, right? There was no internet. There was no Googling like, oh, how do I find the Chinese restaurant, you know, to call or whatever. None of that was going on, right? There was this fundamental communication shift that happened when the cell phone came along. I'll never forget when I first got my cell phone, and Autumn and I got cell phones around the same time, and I remember text messaging was all of a sudden like coming out and was a big thing. And I'll never forget saying to Autumn, this is the dumbest thing ever. Why would anyone ever text someone when you could just call them, right? And now I look back on that and I'm like, no, Justin, that wasn't dumb. You're dumb, right? Because it's revolutionized communication. Right? It's changed everything. Growing up, when the phone rang, you answered it. Right? Does anybody remember those days? Like when the phone rang, you picked up you ran to the phone, no matter what part of the house you're in, you ran to it and you picked it up. And when you picked it up, you had no idea who was going to be on the other end of that telephone call, right? Now, I get anxious when somebody calls me. Particularly if I do not recognize the number. Anybody else? Right? Like, I don't answer the phone if I don't recognize the number. It makes me anxious. Right? It could be a telemarketer. It could be somebody I don't know. Worse, it could be somebody I do know. Right? We don't answer our telephones anymore. I know some people. I have a buddy who... he's the opposite of most people. It doesn't matter who's calling. It doesn't matter if he recognizes the number or not. He wants to answer it, and he's actually kind of hoping it's a telemarketer so that he can just give him the business, right? I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, are you crazy? Do you know? It could be anybody on the other line. It could be a telemarketer. It could be Liam Neeson going, I have a very specific set of skills. I will find you on the other end, right? Like, we don't know. It could be anybody on the other side of that phone. What, are people insane? Are they crazy? Right? Truth is, for me, and I think for most people in this day and age, we don't really want to answer the call half the time, do we? Like maybe they want something from me. Maybe they're going to ask me to help them move. Anybody else? Why is it that every time someone calls me out of the blue, it seems like it's because they want me to help them move? I'll tell you why. Because they know I'm a sucker for free pizza. That's why. Right, I kid, I love helping people move. I've helped many people here move, love it. It's a joy to be able to do that, I kid. But in all seriousness, a lot of times we don't want to answer our phones, do we? Right, why? Because maybe we're busy. Maybe we got too much going on right now in our lives. Maybe we're worried they're gonna ask us to do something that we don't really want to do. And you know, in the same way, I feel like when it comes to our relationship with God, There's a lot of times when God is calling us. He's calling out to us. He's trying to get our attention. And in the exact same way, we will often blow off that call. We will ignore that call at all costs. Why? For the same reasons, right? Maybe we're a little bit too busy right now to answer the call that God is crying out to us with. Maybe right now I don't want to answer. Maybe I just don't want to know what it is that God might actually be asking me to do. And so I ignore that call at all costs. I believe, guys, that when it comes to our Heavenly Father, when it comes to God, he's constantly calling out to us. He's calling out to us to go deeper into relationship with him. He's calling out to us to have a greater impact on the kingdom around us. He's trying to get our attention. And what breaks my heart is when I look around our world and I see God trying to get the attention of people. And sometimes it's me, sometimes it's people in my congregation, in my church family, and sometimes it's just a world, a lost and broken world. He's trying to get their attention, and we're ignoring him. We're not answering the call. And what saddens me, what breaks my heart about that, is that we miss out. So many of us are missing out on the adventure of a lifetime because we don't want to answer that call, because there's some fear. If we really are honest with ourselves, there's some fear when it comes to the call of God, because he might ask me to do something. He might ask me to give something up that I don't want to give up. He might ask me to do something that I don't really want to do. And yet, here's what I have found in my life. I can only speak for myself personally, that every time I have ever answered the call of God, it has been a good call. There's never been one time in my life where I answered God's call, where I went where he asked me to go, and I looked back on that and thought, that was a terrible decision. Well, it's not always easy, but it's always a good call. And so I want to look at a guy today by the name of Moses. We've been in a series now for the last couple of weeks that we're calling Bedtime Stories. We're looking at all of these Old Testament stories. We've been diving into the Old Testament for a couple of weeks now and just trying to look at what God has to teach us through those old stories. See, they're not just old stories. They're not just old fables. They have so much to teach us. And most importantly, and we've been talking about this now for weeks, every single part of the Old Testament, it is pointing to the new. It is pointing ultimately to Jesus Christ. And so unless we understand the old, we'll never understand the new. And so I want to look at Moses today. We've looked at a lot of different guys leading up to this point, and I want to look at God's calling on Moses' life. And I believe it has so much to teach us about how he might be calling us today. And so we're going to be in the book of Exodus today. We're moving out of Genesis. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you have been tracking with us in this series, last week we looked at a guy by the name of Joseph. Joseph has this incredible story, has this incredible experience where he's thrown in prison and then he rises to be the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. He eventually ends up bringing his entire family to live with him in this land of Egypt. And that's kind of where we left off last week. What happens next is several hundred years go by before we get to Moses. And over that several hundred years, the Israelite people, they grow, right? Remember, God promised Abraham that he would bless his family, that he would turn his family into a nation that numbered the stars. And they did, let me tell you. For the next 400 years, they multiplied and multiplied until they were over 2 million people by the time of Moses. Now, Exodus begins by talking about how Joseph, after he died, Generations passed, and all of a sudden a Pharaoh came along who did not remember Joseph, didn't remember all the great things that he did, how he had helped Egypt. And that Pharaoh looked around and he saw all of the Egyptian people, or all of the, excuse me, Israelite people, and how many of them there were. And he started to get a little bit afraid. Like, these people are starting to multiply to the point where they might outnumber us. What if they decide to have a coup and overthrow us? We need to enslave these people. We need to put them in bondage, put them to work for us. Let's use all of these people to help us build our pyramids and our structures and all of that. And so that's exactly what they did. He put them in bondage. He tried to make it so that they actually could not multiply anymore. What's interesting is that in Scripture, in the beginning of Exodus, it actually says that the more they were oppressed, the more they were persecuted, the more they multiplied. Sounds like True North Church to me. I mean, every time I turn around, there's a new baby popping out around here. It's awesome. It's an amazing thing, right? And so Pharaoh is doing everything he can to try to oppress these people, but they're still growing. And so Pharaoh decides to do something unbelievably evil. He decides to kill all of the baby boys that are born under the age of two. And so he goes around, he starts rounding them up. One of those baby boys happens to be Moses. Now, credit to Moses' mom. She's like, no way, that ain't happening. There's no way I'm letting my little boy get killed by the Egyptians. And so what she does is she hatches this plan. She makes this basket. She puts him in the basket and she puts him in the river. She tells Moses' sister to follow the basket as that basket kind of floats down the river, praying that somebody with some power and some influence is going to scoop him up. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. Moses, in that basket, ends up getting taken in by the Pharaoh's daughter. Her servants find this baby floating in the river. They bring Moses to Pharaoh's daughter, and she raises him as her own son. And for the next 40 years, that's a long time. I think sometimes we think of Moses and we think, oh, he was like, you know, 18 or 19 when he left Egypt. No, 40 years he lives in Egypt. Living that culture, living the palace life. I mean, it's a good life for Moses for all intents and purposes. The problem is that Moses knew who he was. It doesn't say in scripture how he knew, but it's obvious from the rest of the story that Moses knew he was a Hebrew. He knew that he was not an Egyptian. And so when Moses would walk the streets of Egypt, and he would see his people being oppressed. He would see them being enslaved and beaten. It angered him. And so one day, Moses is out. He's walking the streets. And all of a sudden, he comes upon this Egyptian slave master. And he is just beating the snot out of one of his Hebrew brothers. And Moses loses it. I mean, he goes ballistic on this guy. And he beats him to death. He takes his body and he buries it in the sand, hoping, praying, nobody has seen what's happened. He goes back to the palace and he kind of just begins to go back to his life. Well, very shortly after that, he's out walking the streets again. And he calls out one of these Egyptian slave drivers. Says, stop beating that guy. And the guy looks at him and he says, what are you going to do? You going to murder me too like you murdered that other guy? And at this moment, Moses freaks out. I mean, he's just like, I mean, if somebody else finds out about this, I am dead. And so at 40 years old, he flees Egypt. He runs for his life. He runs to this place called Midian. He ends up connecting with a family there. He ends up marrying the daughter of a priest named Jethro. He settles down, becomes a shepherd. He actually goes to work for his father-in-law. And he begins to just live out his life in pretty much utter obscurity. In fact, I would argue it's probably what he wanted. I don't want to be known. I don't want to be seen. I just want to be in the middle of nowhere, out in the wilderness, in this Midian. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have kids. I'm going to be a shepherd. And I'm going to die. I don't want to ruffle any more feathers. And then one day, Moses is out tending his father-in-law's sheep. And out of nowhere, he hears this call. Moses, Moses. Now, when you hear someone call your name twice, you know, right? You better perk up. Parents, you know, call your name, your kid's name twice. Like you mean business, right? And so Moses perks up. He says, here I am, right? He doesn't know who's calling his name. All of a sudden, though, he looks up and what does he see? This bush that's on fire. And this voice is coming from that bush. It's this voice that just causes him to have fear and trembling in him, right? And all of a sudden, this voice begins to cry out, Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. This is holy ground. Take off your sandals right now, man. And at that point, Moses realizes, okay, I'm not hallucinating here. This isn't just some burning bush and a voice coming from it. This is God. This is the God of my fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And he is talking to me. He is calling out to me directly. And so next what happens, and I think, man, I'd probably be in the same boat. It says Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I think sometimes maybe some people have interpreted this passage and maybe interpreted it incorrectly. We look at that and we think, you know, what? Why was he afraid? I mean, that's not a good thing, right? Now, I think it was actually a really important thing for Moses. Because what it's showing is it is showing a reverence for who he was in the presence of. Moses got that immediately. This is God himself, the creator of the universe, Lord over all, the one who put breath in my lungs. He could, if he wanted to, end me. And I got to imagine, maybe in the back of his mind, he's thinking, I'm a murderer. I know that's no good. I know that's not cool. And so Moses hides his face. He was afraid to look at God. What happens next probably shocked Moses. God does not smite him down, bring a lightning bolt down on him and end him. No, he says, Moses, I have a mission for you. I have a mission for you to go back to Egypt and free my people, free your people. They have been in bondage far too long, hundreds of years now. And I need you to go there. I need you to have a conversation with Pharaoh. I need you to tell him that these people are no longer going to be enslaved to you, and we're going to bring them out of there. We're going to set them free. Now, if it's me, I'm probably going, okay, this is God, right? God of the universe, creator of all. Okay, God, let's do this. That's not what Moses does. Not at all, not even close. This kicks off this subsequent kind of back and forth between Moses and God, this kind of bargaining back and forth as Moses tries his best to just get out of this situation. Remember, of all the places that God could have asked Moses to go to, I mean, he could have asked him to go anywhere. To ask him to go to Egypt was literally his worst nightmare. That is the last place, right, that he wants to go back to. And so what does he begin to do? He begins to make some excuses. He starts with this one. How about this? In Exodus 3:11, he says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" In other words, God, I do not want to answer this call. Nope. I'm not interested in this. You got to pick somebody else, right? I'm nobody. I'm just this lowly shepherd, right? I'm a murderer. It tells us in scripture that Moses was not articulate or eloquent in any way, that he was actually a stutterer. He had a major, major issue with how he spoke. He was insecure about that. And so his first response is, you got to send somebody else. And I love God's response here in this moment. He simply says, I will be with you. I will be with you. You want to talk about comforting words. I will be with you. And at that, I mean, you'd think right there, okay, God is going to go with me. He's going to be right there, right next to me the entire time. That should have quelled all of his insecurities, all of his fears, all of his anxieties about having to do this thing, to go on this mission, should have ended it. But again, that's not what happens. He asks another question. He begins again to make another series of excuses. He says, what if they ask, who sent me? Who sent me? Who is this God of yours, in other words? And again, I love how God responds here. And honestly, this may be one of, if not the most important statements in all of the Old Testament. And it's absolutely the most important statement in this story and in the life of Moses. This is what he said. I am who I am. Who should I say sent me? God says, you tell them I am who I am. Mic drop. I am who I am. I am the God of the universe. I'm the one who spoke the world into existence. I have no beginning and no end. I have always been and I will always be. I am all powerful, all knowing. I am who I am. You tell them that. And this would have been just a complete contrast to every other god, little g, that existed in that time. Right? In those days, God's kind of had dominion over certain aspects of creation and aspects of life, right? You had the God of fire and the God of earth and the God of wind and the God of love, right? And you could just go on and on with all of these different gods, right? This God, the one true God, big G, says, no, no, no. I am who I am. I am the only God. It is me and me alone, and there is nothing else. You tell them that's the one who is sending you. And at that, he gives these instructions to Moses. Very specific, here's how I want you to do it. He even gives him the outcome. Here's what's going to happen if you do that. And Moses still continues to make excuses. He says, what if they don't listen? God says, okay, let me show you something here. Right? I just told you I am who I am. I am all powerful. I am all knowing. I am everything that you need. Take your staff there, your little shepherd's staff in your hand. Moses, I want you to throw it on the ground. So he did. He throws it on the ground. God turns it into a snake. Boom, just like that. And then back to a staff. He says, Moses, take your hand. Put it inside of your cloak. Now pull it back out. He puts his hand in. He pulls it back out. It's got leprosy all over it, right? He says, now put it back in. He puts it back in, pulls it back out. Gone. Just incredible, miraculous things God is showing him. He's proving to him in that moment, I am who I am. Moses goes on, he says, but I'm not an eloquent speaker. Like, there's got to be somebody else. There's got to be somebody more articulate than me that you can send on this mission. There has to be somebody better. I love this. Exodus 4, 11 and 12 says, the Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. Do you not understand, Moses? Do you not understand that I am who I am? If I'm going with you, you have nothing to fear. Go. And so after God does everything he can to help Moses trust, Moses says this. Moses, he's got some courage, honestly. He's got a lot of fear, but he's got some courage, because listen to what he says to God. After all of that, Exodus 4:13, he says, pardon your servant. Please send someone else. Please send someone else. This isn't my calling. And at that, God got angry. His patience had worn out. He had given Moses all of the signs, everything he needed. It says that God got angry, and then he said this next. He said, all right, fine. You don't want to go alone. You're afraid to go alone. You don't believe that you're articulate enough to handle this situation. I'm going to send somebody with you. I'm going to call on your cousin Aaron. We're going to bring him. He's a great speaker. I will give you the message. You will convey that to Aaron. He will be the one that actually does the talking. And the three of us, we will do this together. And finally, Moses relents. Finally, Moses gives in, and we know, many of us know the rest of the story. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of what happens from this point forward. Moses answers the call. He and Aaron and God, they march into Egypt. They tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh doesn't do it, right? His heart is hardened. God sends all these plagues, 10 different plagues. Finally, Pharaoh lets them go. He releases them, right? The Israelites march out into the desert only to have Pharaoh and his army chase them through the desert to the Red Sea, right? Then all of a sudden, God does this incredible miracle through Moses, right? He parts the Red Sea, one of the most famous and miraculous things that we see in the Old Testament. The Israelites go through, water comes crashing down, right? They're saved from the Egyptians, never to have to deal with them again. Later, Moses would receive the Ten Commandments. He would stand face to face with God and receive the law. Right, he would go on to be one of the greatest leaders the world has ever seen. And ultimately, he would be the central human figure in all of the Old Testament. I mean, he is the guy that when Jesus came, 1,500 years later, They were still talking about Moses. They were still talking about the things that he did. Why? Because he simply answered the call. Because in spite of all his fears, in spite of all his anxieties, he chose to answer the call. And I think there's so much that we can learn from Moses and his life and what transpired here. But I think the biggest lesson and the thing that I want to communicate and convey today, the thing that I want us so badly to take away from this, and I encourage you to write this down because this is the message today. We'll never answer the call until we know and trust the one who's calling. We won't. We'll never answer the call of God until we know him and we trust him. And that's the battle that Moses was going through there as he had that back and forth. I don't know if I can trust or not. And yet what did God do? He proved himself over and over and over again. And in the same way, I think for us in 2021, I absolutely believe that God is calling us. He's calling out to us. He's calling us to a great adventure. Think about the adventure that Moses got to go on. Man, it wasn't easy. It was difficult. But look at all that God did in and through him because he was willing to answer. And so I want to lay out a couple of things here. Okay, yes, we know we need to trust. We need to know God. We need to understand the one who's calling. Well, above all, until we know and trust that he is the great I am, we'll never answer the call. We have to know and trust that he is the great I am. I cannot overstate the significance of that statement enough. I am who I am. Unlike all of the false gods of the time, he was in true, complete control of everything. I mean, remember, he's the God who literally spoke the world into existence with words. All powerful, all knowing. He reigns over all. He is holy and he is worthy. And the only appropriate response to that kind of power, to that kind of dominion over us, he is the ruler over all. The only appropriate response to that, when someone like that calls you, is to answer. Think about this with me. Let's just put it in kind of everyday terms. If I pick up my phone and I see it's a telemarketer, am I going to answer? Nope, not me. If I see that it's a friend calling and I'm too busy, I'm in the middle of, I don't know, writing my sermon, doing something important, I'm probably not going to answer. I might, but I might not, right? If I see that it's my wife calling, it's the middle of the day, and she's normally at work, and I don't normally get phone calls from her at that time, and I see that she's calling, I don't care what I'm doing, I'm picking up the phone, right? I'm going to pick up the phone. If I know that the president of the United States, doesn't matter who the president is, if the president of the United States is going to call me, I block off my whole schedule for the day, right? I'm not messing around with that. This is the leader of the free world. If he's going to call me, I am going to answer the phone. And in the same way, like we gotta have this perspective. The great I am who I am, all powerful, all knowing, Lord of all, creator of all. When he calls, we should answer. And it doesn't matter what he's calling about. We answer. This is a deeply theological thing that we as believers, those of us in this room who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, Christians, I believe this is the beginning of everything. It's the start of our whole relationship with him. It's this understanding that he is holy. What did God say to Moses when he called out to him from that burning bush? Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Do you know who you are in the presence of right now? That's the kind of reverence that we're supposed to have for our God. And in the moments when I have that reverence, I answer the call. Truth is, though, sometimes my spirit's not there, my heart's not there. And I want to be my own God. I want to make my own choices. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. And when I'm in that mode, when I'm not thinking, okay, God, whatever you want, whatever you ask, because you are Lord of my life, then I don't follow. And what stinks is I know I have missed out on some amazing opportunities to do some incredible things for the kingdom because I didn't answer the call. And I don't want that. Moving forward, I don't want that, and I don't want that for you. So we need to know and trust that he is the great I am, but we also need to know and trust that his plan and his purpose is greater. It's greater, it's better than any plan or purpose that we could have for ourselves. I think Moses understood that ultimately. Now, in the beginning, what was Moses' issue? And I don't think he really thought that. I think he thought, no, I have a really nice, safe, comfortable life here. It's not sexy. I'm a shepherd, which was like the lowest of the low job that you could hold, right? He didn't really have any influence, no power, but you know what? I got a family, I got a wife, I got some kids, I got a good paying job. I'm good. Can you imagine what Moses misses out on if he doesn't answer the call? You think God would have chosen somebody else if Moses refused? God was going to accomplish his purposes and his plan regardless of whether Moses answered the call or not. But because he answered the call, he got to be a part of something unbelievable, something incredible. And if he doesn't answer, he misses out. Church, today, I am imploring you. Recognize he is the great I am, and he has an amazing plan and purpose for your life if you will just simply answer his call. He does. And it might not look like what you had intended it to look like. You might make less money. You might make more money. You might have less influence. You might have more influence. But his plan is better for you than anything that you could come up with for yourself. We have to know and trust he is the great I am. We have to know and trust his plan and purpose is greater. And we have to know and trust, finally, that he will be with us. He will be with you. If you will answer that call, this is the promise that he made to Moses. I mean, to me, this should have settled it. He said, I will be with you. It doesn't matter what I've asked you to do, how big or how great it seems, how impossible it seems, I will be with you. I'm going to be right there walking with you every step of the way, and my power is going to be with you. Go. Once Moses started to believe that, God did incredible things through him. Once he actually trusted that God would be with him, I do believe it. It began to calm his fears and his anxieties. It began to give him confidence. Look at the things that he did. Why? Because I am was with him. I think for so many of us, We don't even get to experience that because we don't go. How do we know if God will go with us if we never actually go? It's a really difficult and hard thing. And yet he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Now, I believe just like Moses, just like God called Moses and so many others, God is still calling today. He's calling you. He's calling me. He's calling us into deeper relationship with him. He's calling us into a greater purpose and plan. He's calling us into greater influence for his kingdom and for this world. And yet I think so many of us, we got ourselves on silent, the phone is on silent, or we're just ignoring the call. What's incredible to me is, you know, God doesn't call us anymore from a burning bush. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? But honestly, what he calls us through and calls us from now is so much greater. He calls us through Jesus Christ. He calls us through Jesus. See, 1,500 years after Moses walked the earth, God came to earth. The great I Am came to earth in the form of a man. He came to walk with us, to be with us, literally, physically, to be with us. The great I Am did. He came to be with us. He began calling us, didn't he? And who did he call? He didn't call the most talented. He didn't call the people who had it all together. He didn't call the people who had the highest status. He called a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors. He called sinners to himself. He called them to come, he said, and follow me. Come and follow me. I am the great I Am here in the flesh. And if you will follow me, take you on the adventure of a lifetime. I will show you things that you can't even imagine. I will do things in your life that you couldn't possibly have perceived. I love the symbolism here. Jesus would often say of himself, I am something. That was a direct call out to his deity. Or what did he say? He said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. I am all that you need. I will all that you will ever need. I am your salvation. I am your joy. I am your hope. I am your peace. This is who Jesus came to be, to lead us into deeper intimacy and relationship with him. And yet, like Moses, I think we use every excuse in the book to ignore him sometimes. Don't we? And we say things like, I am not enough. I am a failure. I am not worthy. I am too busy. I am not going to follow you. We make excuses, just like Moses did. And we fall into this trap of defining ourselves by who I am. By defining ourselves by my gifts, right? By your gifts. Meanwhile, there's this God who is calling out to us. He's crying out to us. And he's saying it's not about who you are. It's about who I am. It's not about who you are. In fact, you're right. You are not enough. In some ways, you are a failure. We are. But he says, in me, I will make you enough. I will put my spirit inside of you and I will do something in you. I will do something incredible in you if you will follow me. I love this. I love this statement. I've been thinking about it, reflecting on it all week long. He is the great I Am. That is good news today. He says, I am who I am. I am and always will be. I am the one who put breath in your lungs. I am the one who created the universe. I am all powerful. I am all knowing. I am all that you need. I am your salvation. I am your hope. I am your future.
I am with you, he says. I am God and you are mine. So go confidently into the calling that I've placed on your life. When you understand that you are being called by the great I am, you answer with confidence. When you really believe that he can do anything through you, if you are a willing vessel, you answer with confidence. And so as we close, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at as far as your connection with Jesus, connection with God, but I know the great I am is calling. He is. He's calling you. The question is, are we going to answer? Are we going to answer? First and foremost, I believe he's calling us into salvation. He's calling us. Jesus Christ, the great I am, is calling us to put our hope and our faith and our trust in him as Savior. So that from this day forward, we don't ever have to worry again about whether our eternity is secure. He's calling. And what kills me is to see so many people, millions of people, just ignore that call, to refuse to see that he really is the great I am, that he is worthy of following, that he is worthy of putting your trust in. And I beg you today, if you're sitting here and you've never done that, make today the day. I am is calling you into that. He's calling us to this great commission and this great commandment to love people. He's calling us to tell and share the gospel, the good news with people. Every one of us today has someone in our life who does not know Christ. And if they die tomorrow, their eternity is not secure. He's calling you. He's calling you specifically to be the one to share that with them, to love them, to point them to Christ. He's calling us to the mission of his church. This is an amazing, beautiful thing that we get to be a part of. Those of us that are part of the church, the mission of Jesus Christ and advancing the gospel in the world, he's calling you to that. You were never meant to sit on the sideline. He's calling you this incredible mission. He's calling us to use and leverage everything that we have, our time, our talent, our treasure, to build his kingdom. He's calling us to be more generous, to be more giving. Are we answering that call or not? He's calling us to make a career change, maybe. Maybe he's been calling you for a while. You know, you're supposed to go here, you're supposed to go there. Or maybe he's calling you to just stay where you are, to stick it out, to fight through whatever it is that you're fighting through. He's calling. Again, the question is, are we listening? Are we listening? And so the way I see it, we have two choices today, church. We can answer the call or we can ignore it. We can answer the call or we can ignore it. We can trust him. We can be obedient to him or we can ignore it. God has a tremendous calling on your life. He has bigger dreams and plans for you than you could ever have for yourself. And so I'm asking you today, as we wrap this up and as we close, what is it? What is it that God has been calling you to? What is it that maybe you've just been ignoring? No, God, that's not for me. That can't be me, right? I'm not articulate enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't have time for that. What is it? What is that thing that you know he's drawing you into? Whatever it is, would you trust him? Would you be obedient to him? Would you begin to just say, okay, I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to start to go. And I'm going to follow and I'm going to believe that you're going to be with me. And I'm going to trust that you're going to do something great with it.
I'll give you one personal example and then we'll close this morning. You know, when I was in high school, I really felt like I might be getting called to be a pastor, even at 15 or 16 years old. And I'll tell you what, man, I put that off for as long as I possibly could. I said, no, I'm not, that's not me. I got too messed up of a past. I'm not talented enough. I'm not spiritual enough. There's got to be somebody else to do this job. I went through all of high school. I went through most of college. And I sat at an internship before my senior year of college. And I could not ignore it any longer. And I went home and I just wept at the kitchen table with my parents. And I said, I'm not going back. I know I'm supposed to go into ministry. I've known for a long time. And I gotta submit. I gotta surrender at this point. And that has happened to me multiple times since then. And I tell you that I went from there to my first job in a local church. And then I got called to come out to a church out here. And that was a really hard decision. And I really didn't want to do it, if I'm being totally honest. And then it was, you're going to plant a church, Justin. And I put that off for 3-4 years. Nope, that's definitely not me. And yet here I stand. And I look out in this place and I see the people that I get to now call family, church family. And I look up and I go, God, your plan was so much better than anything I could have dreamed for myself. And you have been with me the entire way. Hasn't always been easy. Been some really rocky moments throughout that journey. But I'm so glad I answered the call. Been many more times in my life where I didn't. And I wish I would have. And so I say all that to say this today. You have no idea what God might do through you. You have no idea the places he might take you if you just be willing to step out in faith and obedience. And that's my prayer for you. Church, that's my prayer. That you would simply answer the call. Whatever it is that he's asking you to do, it's going to be different for every single person in the room. But answer it, follow it, and go on that adventure. Do not miss out. Don't miss out.